What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
How many discounts does USAA auto insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy discount.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/autodiscounts. Restrictions apply.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Time is valuable. That's why Lowe's Blueprint Takeoffs turn blueprints into quotes faster. Bring us your plans, and we'll generate itemized material lists to make quoting easier so you can get back to building. Plus, at the Lowe's Pro Desk, you get access to thousands of building materials not sold in store. And when your order's ready, we'll deliver everything to the job site. Improving is easy at Lowe's.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Hunting Gear podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we are joined by my good buddy, Mr. Mark Kenyon from Wired to Hunt. Mark, how are we doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, but you had a weird pause there when you were about to say good buddy. It's like you were considering, is he a good buddy? Do I want him to find him? Well, what was that about?
I was going to add some smart-ass comment in front of it,
okay?
But I was like, how would I say... Facial hairless now. You have no facial hair anymore. I wish you had the rookie of the year back, but I don't know what you're trying to prove or who you're trying to be, but I like goatee Mark Kenyon.
There's a little bit coming in.
Yeah.
We'll see. The thing about shaving is now it's like I'm a different man every day.
Yeah.
I can be clean shaved. I can have a little 5 o'clock. I can have a goatee.
Yeah.
The problem is the mustache takes a long commitment to get back.
That's
right. You go through a very long phase of looking like someone who's not allowed within 100 yards of a school. and I have kids in school that I have to pick up now, so that causes problems.
Oh, buddy. What does your wife say? What's your wife's favorite facial hair on you?
No facial hair.
Oh, she likes you clean.
Yeah, she likes me clean. She hates the goatee.
Okay.
And then she likes the mustache next, and then fully clean is number one. I've not been facial hairless really almost ever since we started dating back in like 2008.
Okay.
So bringing that back, she's been very happy about it. but now I'm stuck in this weird thing because, like, if I want to get back to a mustache, there's a very long phase in between with the has to be a goatee again because I can't grow a regular beard.
Yep.
And so I'm kind of stuck here unless I'm willing to commit to, like, a month or two of her not being interested in me at all. So
Gotcha. So what you're telling me is you need a long hunting trip to grow something, then come back, and then she'll be happy with it.
Possibly, yeah. Unfortunately, it had to be a very long hunting trip because of my lack of strong facial hair growing ability.
Great. Well, yeah, I respect your decision, Mark Kenyon. I do. Yeah,
glad you can still take me for who I am now.
Yep, exactly. Okay, hunting gear and equipment, all right? Yep. And basically what I want to do today is I want to get into some of the gear that you used this year that you felt was great. Maybe it's some Old Faithful type gear, and then maybe some new gear that you picked up this year that you're really happy with, as well as some gear that maybe frustrated you, because I feel that's important too. And I do have a public service announcement that I will get into on this, especially for the mobile hunter. That I will never, ever, 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 ever sacrifice again. I'll pay double if I have to. And so the first thing that I'm going to throw your way is let's talk about some Old Faithful products that continue to do their job and do it well every year.
Okay. Well, you know, one thing that I just stand by that I have not changed for a long time now is just my tethered saddle. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love that thing, and I've been running the Phantom Elite, which I have used for, I don't know, 6 years now, 5 years, something like that. And I've resisted changing. They have new ones. I've got the bigger, fancier lockdown. Mm-hmm. And I just like the minimalist nature of the Phantom Elite, but enough comfort features to be able to make those small adjustments to keep it comfortable for you.
Yeah.
And man, with a good saddle, you just don't need to change. You can just, if it's comfortable, if it works, you have a system that's in place, you know where everything goes, you know where your ropes go, you know where your clips are, you know how everything attaches, and so I've just stuck with that.
Yep.
Been very happy with it. But yep. I say all this to tell you that I had a devastating thing happen. November 13th or 14th, I was going to go in for a late, like a just after gray light hunt. I wanted to get into a spot that to get to it, you had to cross food sources. And I couldn't do it in the morning without spooking a bunch of deer. So the plan was to glass this field until it cleared and then sneak in. Actually, I was going to take an e-bike in and slip in and hang a new set in this bedding area just inside of that.
Okay.
So I do all that. I ride the bike in. I start walking into the cover, and then all of a sudden I realize I don't have my saddle. Where's my saddle? And I realized I left my saddle at home. So I now have to go back out to the bike, ride the bike back to the road, get back to the house, go to the barn looking for my saddle, and I can't find my saddle anywhere. And then all of a sudden it dawns on me what had happened. I'd been in Kentucky hunting previous to that.
Yep.
And the last day hunting in Kentucky was pouring rain, so everything got soaked. So when I got home from Kentucky, I took everything that was wet out of my truck, and I hung it up all around the truck to dry off. So like I hang my rain jackets on the back of the tailgate, and I hung some other stuff off on like the window of my topper, and I had hung my saddle on the rooftop bars on top of my truck. Later that day, I had to go pick up my son from school. I'm late. I run to the back of the truck, throw everything I see into the back of the truck, close the tailgate, hop in the truck, drive away. What I must have done is forgotten that the saddle was hanging off of the rooftop bar on the right-hand side of the truck, opposite the driver's side. So I drove away with my saddle hanging off of my roof, and it must have dropped off somewhere on the road, and I've lost my saddle. So my old, faithful Phantom Elite with my perfect rope set up, everything taped up, perfect and quiet, all my stuff dialed in, all my little clips and doodads where I want them, all gone. So I'm using my backup saddle now. I've got my backup ropes. Nothing's quite right. It all feels wrong. And I'm going to – it's a real bummer. So that's one that stands out.
Yeah, I will say this. I have the regular Phantom XL because I'm a big dude. But the pouches on the side is the first time I've used the pouches on the side this year. The drawstring pouches. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, dude, that's so sweet. Like, you're not digging in through your backpack and you're screwing hooks, the non-screwing belt that goes around the tree that you can hang your hooks on and things like that. When it's a true running gun, you got your ropes in your other one. Man, it's so money. I am a hybrid user of a saddle, so I will have your traditional saddle hunt on a platform, but I don't even wear a safety harness anymore. I wear my saddle in my Lone Wolf's and any other stand, like even on the ladder stands when I was in Kansas this year. I was leaning back on my my ladder stand with my saddle, and it just allows me to be a little bit more mobile while I'm in the stand. I can stand up, I can lean, I can sit down, whatever the hybrid method, or I can just hang on the platform and do it the old school way, and that's great too. So yes, I used my saddle more this year than I did the previous year. I'm more comfortable in it now. And it's just one of those things where if you want to be mobile, or if you hunt a lot of public and you're trying to get away from people, or you want to make a move to something, it's not an end all. Like, you don't have to be a saddle hunter, but it is, like Greg says with Tethered, he's like, it's just another tool in your tool belt for whitetails. And it's like, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of flexibility. So I do the same thing as you. I wear my saddle into preset tree stands even.
Yep.
Because you can do it both ways. It's like a hybrid setup then. Yep. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
That's great.
Saddles, you know, we've talked about that before. What else? What other, any more Old Faithful?
Man, I still am pleasantly surprised by nose jammer. It's a little thing. It seems a little gimmicky, but that's like another thing that, man, if there's a few things that I really do believe in, it's still that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, man, there's been so many situations where I have a deer that's crossed my trail or deer that's downwind to me, and you don't get away with it all the time, but you get away with it just enough times that you know, like, man, you see it. There's a very specific reaction when you're using nose jammer or Ozonix, both of them, where they smell something. You see them stop. You see them trying to understand what it is they're smelling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've kind of see it. It's like, at least my experience is I get like a 50% negative reaction and a 50% non-negative reaction. So 50% will still wind you just as if everything was, as if you were doing nothing.
Yep.
And then I have 25% of deer that will come through and be like, huh, something's different. I don't understand what this is. It's not quite right, but I'm not going to blow. I'm not going to run out of here. I'm just going to, I'm going to go back where I came from, but they do it quietly and they don't make a big stink about it. And then there's another 25% that hit it and like, ah, no big deal, and keep doing exactly what they're going to do. Yeah. And that is totally worth it for me. That percent, like 50% that are not a huge negative and 25% that are perfect. These are rough approximations, but that, the combo of Ozonix and nose jammer is what I always use, and that I've been doing for a long time now, and it's enough of a difference that I think it does help and it does make it worthwhile. So that's something that I've stuck with for a long time.
Amen. And I'll tell you this right now. This year there were times where I'm like, why am I lugging this dumb thing in and out of the stand with me all the time? Until I had deer surrounding me. And I knew that my thermals were going down because it was a cloudy day. And so I took it off of the little stand it sets on, and I unzipped my jacket and I just stuffed it right in there because I had deer all over me, thermals dropping, and they didn't catch me at all. And so they say set it above you and let it drop over top of your scent. But at the same time, like in a crunch, I put it in my jacket sometimes and I turn that thing on and I let it run while deer are around me. That way I can even draw my bow back with it in there. And it does it for me. And it's those moments right there that is why I bring that thing in the deer woods with me every single time. And then the benefit of not having to wash your clothes multiple times a week during the rut, put it in my ozone bag, run it for that dry wash cycle, and it's done. And then you got clean clothes the next day.
Helps a lot.
Helps a lot.
It is a pain in the butt. Sometimes I hate the sound. Like, I hate hearing that, especially when you get to the end of the night or first thing in the morning when it's very still and very quiet, and you know that if you should be able to hear deer approaching, and then you just can't hear it because there's this buzz. And then sometimes I'll just turn it off, and I'll be like, oh, my gosh, I can hear so much more right now.
Yep.
So that does frustrate me. I know I've got an old model, so maybe I've heard the new ones are much quieter, so maybe I'll get one of those eventually. I'm still running one from, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. So that could be part of my problem. But yes, it's still worth it as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. I run that same nose jammer combo. Here's what I will say about nose jammer. It's great. It works. I truly believe it works. But the thing about it that I found out this year is if I'm continuously spraying it on my body over the on a garment over the course of a week or so, it does start to stink less like that vanilla flavor and more like, I don't know, like, I don't want to say old food, but it does. I did have a stink with it this year.
You started noticing something.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. And so all I did was I washed my clothes, and then the nose jammer was really just applied to my binocular case and then my shoes and not my garments. So, I don't know. Take that for what you want. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Another one, it wasn't really cold this year per se, but there was a couple mornings where it was 25 to, 30 degrees. And there was, if I went down to the river bottoms, all the cool air congregated and it was a little colder and, you know, there was some frost on the ground. But another Old Faithful product for me is the Arctic Shield boot covers.
Hmm.
Man, those things, when I wear them, my feet do not get cold, period. And so that is something that if I could tell someone, hey, go find a discount code for Black Friday and buy your best friend or for yourself, buy a pair of Arctic Shield boot covers, dude, those things are money.
So these are like, you're talking about the little sleeping bag for your feet.
Yes.
That seems so weird to me. I feel it'd be like a pain in the butt and I don't know, just like weird. But you're telling me it really helps.
Oh my God. I wear lightweight socks, and I'm not saying like September mule deer antelope type socks. I'm talking not your big thick wool ones that you would wear in the coldest weather. I'm wearing just a medium weight wool sock or alpaca sock, and I am wearing a non-insulated hiking boot, and then I get into the tree. And I put those over my feet, and I'm golden, dude. The entire. So basically, a lot of guys will wear rubber boots or big, heavy, insulated boots.
Yeah.
And then sometimes that causes issues getting up in the tree stand. And maybe, you know, those big Alpha Burly Pros from lacrosse, those things are gigantic on your feet. And then eventually, if you're sitting all day, rubber boots, your feet will still get cold.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care how much insulation is. If it's a rubber boot, that rubber is going to get cold. And so I keep my sock and my boot breathable, and then I'll throw that over top of it, and it's money. It's money. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have to carry them in. And yes, when you get into the stand, you got to put them on and take them off. It's worth it.
I guess I got to try that out.
You got to try them out.
Got to try that out.
Got to try it out.
Hmm.
The other last one that I'll say as far as, and I think the people that I work with over at WASP get mad at me because every year, you know, they don't introduce a new broadhead every year, but the year that they did introduce a broadhead, they're like, hey Dan, you know, why don't you try out the new one? Why don't you try? I'm like, because your current one is a destroyer of worlds. Like, and so this year was another example of a marginal shot in South Dakota on a mule deer led to me killing it because of the destruction of my broadhead. And then obviously you could have put any type of broadhead through where I shot my Kansas buck this year and it would have done the job. But dude, just American made product. And it's just one of those where I feel confident with it. It's the Boss, or the, excuse me, the Jackhammer 3-blade.
Okay.
Dude, that thing just destroys, matched with my Day 6 arrows, 4-fletch Day 6 arrows. I'm sitting at about 550 total grains of arrow weight, and I just destroy whatever I hit, man. Whether it's a marginal shot, I'm doing a ton of damage, ton of penetration, and I'm confident in it. And so that's my Old Faithful setup. It's been that way for God knows how many years, and I'm going to continue to do that until all of a sudden it costs me something, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah. Man, confidence. Like, confidence. That is one of my biggest thing with my hunting gear is I really love to find something I really believe in and just stick with it.
Yep.
If you have confidence in it, then you can have one less thing on your mind. There's so many other things going on that you need to worry about on a hunt. I don't want some new gear that I'm unsure of or not quite confident in to somehow sneak its way into my mind in those moments. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
All right. Any new products that you were able to use this year and kind of fell in love with?
I switched to a single pin sight for the first time this year.
Okay.
And so far so good. Now, I've done that for a couple of reasons. One, I'm trying to simplify and dumb down and reduce any room for error in my archery process. And so, you know, when you have a 5-pin sight, you have two things going on. You have to make the decision of, okay, what's the range and what pin do I need to use? And then you also just have this sight picture that's got a whole lot of stuff going on, and you have to make sure you're using the right one, and you've got to make sure you can see well. And in those moments of truth, I have been known to rush things. And so I'm trying to find anything that can just remove 1% possible chance for error, 1% possible chance for error there. So by switching to a single pin sight, I now have only one thing to worry about. One pin, one place.
Yep.
And I moved my max range this year. I used to be 40 yards for whitetail. This year I switched to 30 yards and in. Again, I'm going to have fewer shot opportunities. I realize that. I know plenty of people happily shoot out to 40 and beyond. But I would rather have fewer shots, but fewer things go wrong.
Yeah.
So this year I decided 30 yards. I can do that. I can get deer within 30 yards. And with this single pin sight, I can set it at 27 yards. And I never need to move it. So if there's a deer at 10 yards, 15 yards, 25 yards, 29 yards, I never have to move my sight. I just put the pin on it, and I'm within a couple inches no matter where it's at. Yep. And so I have nothing to think about in the moment of truth except for put the pin there, execute your process. I don't need to worry about anything but knowing, is it within 30? Then I go. And I really like that.
Yeah. Devil's advocate time.
Sure.
Have you had a situation where you had a deer on the move that closed range, got distance, and was back and forth at where you were dialing in, and you maybe missed it or had to guess at the last moment?
Well, so here's the thing. I don't dial the sight. I never move the sight.
Okay.
So I have the sight set at my 27-yard mark.
Okay.
And I never move it.
Okay.
So if that deer's at 30 yards, it's a kill shot. If that deer's at 27 yards, it's a kill shot. If that deer's at 20 yards, it's still a kill shot. So with the speed of my bow and my arrow setup and everything, as long as that deer is within 30 yards, where I have it, it will hit where I need it to.
Gotcha.
So basically, I've eliminated the need to dial it all. Because I have such a close range, max range, I'm never moving it. So I'm moving it like practicing on the range when I'm shooting long distance on the range. But I put it at this 27-yard mark on my sight when I go hunting, and I never touch it again.
Yeah. Hey, that makes sense. That makes sense. And so that strategy changes when you go out west or something like that.
Yeah, if I were going out west, it would be different. But for me right now, just doing whitetails here in the Midwest, 30 yards and in, eliminating any extra thing to think about, eliminating any extra thing you might screw up, close-range shots, single pin, don't move it. And that's – now, I've only had one shot opportunity on a deer with a bow so far this year, so I've only been able to test the theory once. But yeah, it worked in that case.
What brand?
It is a dialed Arxos, I think is what it's called. Yeah.
Those are not cheap.
Not cheap.
Those are not cheap. And so
I don't think any of those dial or any of the movable single pins though are these days.
No, but that brand is the top of the food chain when it comes to. And I believe that actually might be a Made in America product too.
I think that is probably true. I know that. I mean, the guys, Jordan and Taylor, I mean, they're local Minnesota dudes.
Yeah. So, dude, I'm not questioning any type of quality. But yes, you are correct when you say there's nothing cheap anymore. And so, that's awesome. Okay. A couple products here that I will say I was really happy with that I had not used in the past. One of them is there is a brand of sock that I have always really liked, and it's called Altera, and they are a alpaca sock. So like wool. Okay. They do the same thing as wool. They have come out with a variety of new socks this year. And, dude, they are – I don't know, man. You just – when your feet are right, and I mean when your feet are right from a hiking standpoint, from a sitting, you know, getting to the tree stand, climbing down, whether you're hiking all day on a Western hunt, if your feet are not right, they're not right. And then you're thinking about them and you're screwed. And so these socks, man, I'm wearing them actually, right now. They are, they have a new lighter weight sock. What are they called? The new ones are called the Thrive. They're money, dude. So huge shout out to Altera for putting together a badass sock. I think they might, I'm not 100% sure, they might even be Made in America. I'm not sure. Anyway, that's one of the things that I contribute to keeping my feet dry and lack of moisture. The other one.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
This year has that I have just been surprised by, to be honest with you. You know, Mark, sometimes there is a gimmick. I don't want to say a gimmick, but maybe it's branding where they say, you know, our broadheads are the sharpest or our gear is the best because of this type of technology. Whatever. And so I work with them, but I was also, like, honestly, a little skeptical. It's just like heat boost technology is what Huntworth claims that they have. Now, I don't know shit about fabrics. I don't know what makes, quote unquote, heat boost technology work. I'm just like, okay, well, I'm going to wear my same, you know, I'm going to wear their clothes, but who knows whether or not it's going to work. I will say this. When I'm wearing their heat boost technology, I have to wear less layers. And so it's pretty cool that whatever it is that they do on there, it has kept me warm wearing less layers, and I like that. Because there have been times where I'm wearing a base layer, then I'm wearing some kind of vest, then I'm wearing a puffy jacket, then I'm wearing a shell jacket. It's it can be limiting to your range of motion. And so this year I was able to wear some of that quote unquote heat boost technology, and dude, it's badass, man. So shout out to them for making me comfortable, I guess.
I've got another one that's new-ish. I started using it midway through last season. Is that too late to bring up?
No. Anything, man.
So this is one of the few things where, like, man, I usually don't proselytize products.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot of stuff that I'm like, oh, man, this is a game changer. Because, again, to your point, everyone's always saying, oh, this product, that product, yada, yada, yada. But, man, and I say this reluctantly in a certain way because I hate... What am I trying to say? I started using a binocular last year that was not a Vortex binocular, and I hated not using Vortex because I love Vortex. I love the folks at Vortex. They're awesome people, awesome.
Do they know that? Do the guys at Vortex know that you're using another brand? Oh,
they
dude.
Do. Yeah. And so,
I'm just
and
giving you shit because they know you. I know. Yeah. I know that. Yeah.
They know it, and they know I've got all the love in the world for them. But... this SIG Zulu 6 bino that I started using midway through last year and I'm still using this year is really different because it's really different because it has a button that you turn on, you flip a switch, and it turns on image stabilization. And as crazy as it sounds, like when I first heard about it, it sounded like a gimmick, sounded like something I wouldn't use, and like, who the heck needs that?
Yeah.
But this thing is a lights out, totally different binocular experience when you turn this on. It goes from, you know, like you, I can, when you're out there and you're trying to see something far off in the distance and you're trying to hold your binoculars steady and you're like putting your elbows on your chest or you rest your binoculars on top of your bow while you're walking or when you're
it's
out
windy.
Glassing out west, it's windy,
it's windy.
Moving around,
yep.
All that kind of stuff. And you're it's shaky and you can see, sure, but it's shaky, especially the last light. It's hard to pick stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
With this thing, you turn it on and it has an internal gyroscope inside of it and it makes everything hold still. It's insane. It's dramatically changed how well I can see in the woods, especially in low light or especially if I'm looking through brush and trying to understand what this thing is behind that tree branch. Once I tried it, I was like, oh, I can't not use these are actually really different. I can single hand, I can be hanging from my saddle, holding my bow in my left hand and hold my binoculars with one hand without resting on anything else and perfectly see something 300 yards away behind tree branches and identify what it is. So that has actually, like, if there's anything I've changed over the last year, that is the thing that has been like, oh wow, that's been a game changer.
Yeah. Dude, technology is bananas, right? Yeah. Cell cams, image stabilization, trail, or you know, binoculars, just craziness.
Yeah.
All right. The other thing,
for better or for worse, I don't know.
Exactly. Take it how you want to take it.
Yeah.
Okay. The next thing I want to talk about, real quick, and we're flying through this, but solid colors, man. Dude, I'm telling you, obviously there are times when camo plays its part. I don't know where that is, but if I had to choose between wearing a solid brown color versus another, any type of camo pattern on the market, dude, I would rather choose a solid color. And I'm saying this as a guy who is sponsored by Huntworth. I would rather wear any solid color that they make, which they have, versus any camo pattern on the market, period. I have gotten away, this year was just a testament to that, on the ground or wherever, solid colors, man, there's something about it that I feel solid colors perform better in nature than some made-up camo pattern.
See, I don't know if I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I think I can see how people can make the argument that it doesn't matter that much and that you can get away with it.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time believing that it actually works better.
I don't know.
Like a big solid block of color, of one single color, big solid chunk of the same thing is just not natural.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, let's look at nature. Maybe out in the prairie, right? That brown against the golden brown grass. when you're doing a spot and stock, yeah, maybe. But the goal is to not let them see you anyway, right? And if they stand up, I think what we all can agree on is that limited movement is the key.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Outside of that, in a tree and you're 10, I shot my deer off, you know, my deer at 10 yards in Kansas this year. I was 10 feet off the ground at 10 yards. I had the sun behind my back, full disclosure, like that probably didn't play a huge role. But trees at a distance look like single big blobs of wood, right? Like vertical. And so if I'm standing still in a solid pattern, I could see, and this is all hypothetical, I can see that they're like, oh, well, that's just a tree. Or whatever the case is, if you're perfectly still when I'm in the tree, man, I have been picked out of a tree wearing camo before. I've been picked out less in a tree wearing solid colors. And I don't know the reason behind it. I don't know what it is. If you look at some of the one of my favorite camo patterns of all time is Predator Fall Gray. Okay. And the reason I like that is because when you look up in a tree in November, especially if there's no leaves, with a light backdrop, it looks like tree branches against the sky.
Against the sky, yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't know. That's my favorite one if I was going to pick, right? Outside of that, I have been busted, and I hate to say it, but Sitka. Sitka's camo pattern, that digital camo pattern, to me, I feel like I had been picked off more times wearing Sitka than any other pattern on the market. Don't know why. It's just what happened. And so when I started wearing, definitely, I pretty much always wear solid colored pants, but when I started wearing solid colored tops and things like that, man, I'm telling you, I just have been busted less. Don't know why. Maybe there's some asterisks in there somewhere. Take that for how you want to take it.
Well, you know what I think one of the really strong arguments for solids are, it would be just like the versatility of your purchase. Mm-hmm. Like, I think to your point, it's, while I'm not quite as far as you, as far as like thinking that solids, absolute solids absolutely work better than camo. Mm-hmm. I could be convinced that a mixture of camo and solids versus straight camo doesn't make that big of a difference.
Right.
And so is it worthwhile for me to maybe run solid pants and a camo jacket, but now I have a pair of pants that I can wear for other stuff?
Yep.
You know, I think the versatility of solids they make a really compelling case. When you can wear that stuff in the tree on a hunt, you can wear them out fishing, you can wear them out camping, you can wear them to go pick up your son or whatever it is. That argument makes a lot of sense to me. And, you know, I could see myself doing more of that. I just like the look of it a little bit more too. It just kind of, that's a silly thing to care about.
Yep.
But I like the idea of like a solid pant and a camo jacket or something that just, I don't know. I like that look and feel. So I've dabbled in that a little bit too.
Yep. All right, Mark, we're coming up on time here and actually we're over already. But I do have to say one thing. I'm going to pass it to you real quick. Is there anything else that you feel we need to discuss before we end it?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I love my one sticks. I switched to one sticks last year. That's my one other piece of gear I forgot to mention. That has been a revolution for me.
But you like them?
Yeah, I was resistant to them. I thought they were too loud, too jangly, so I thought they sucked because of that. But I finally tried them. I put stealth strips on them, and they're incredible.
Okay, all right. This is very quick. This is very simple. Screw-in hooks. Dude, do not buy the Walmart cheap screw-in hooks, because you get into a hardwood scenario, you ain't screwing shit into the tree. And I was so pissed. I had three, it was a Walmart buy. I picked up my tag at Walmart. I went there. I bought a pack of three screw-in hooks, got out to the tree. Nope.
I hate that.
And then the metal was shitty, so they bent. And so I went to, I think it was Shields. I bought the most expensive, sharpest screw-in hook that I, and it worked. And so you want to talk about something that especially when you're doing a run and gun and you're trying to be quiet and you're trying to be as lethal as possible and you get up in the tree and your screw and hooks aren't working, that pisses me off more than any. So here's, I got two things I want to say. One, to the manufacturers out there, do not skimp on your screw and hooks, because they play a very important role in any type of hunting scenario. And two, to the people who are buying them, always buy the highest quality screw and hooks that you can. Period. That's it. Any more, I'll start bitching.
I'm with you on that one, man. I've been the same spot. Nothing worse than a screw in. Same with screw and steps.
Same.
When you get a screw and step that doesn't start, God, that's frustrating.
Very frustrating. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, abrupt end. Mark, appreciate your time. Thank you very much for hopping on and chatting gear with us today. And good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks, buddy. You too.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.